From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been studying the book of Judges. Today, he commences the final message in that series. We'll see how the scriptures reveal Samuel's character and his ministry as the spiritual leader of Israel. Following many years of declension and apostasy on the part of the nation, God raised up this man to call the people to repentance and revival. He was a man who lived in close and constant fellowship with God, one who had access to God when no one else did. Samuel reminds us of the great need in our day for men with a message from God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message called Samuel the Seer. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's text is found in Psalm 138 and verse 5. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord. The time when Christians begin to sing in the ways of the Lord is when they first lose their burden at the foot of the cross. Not even the songs of the angels seem so sweet as the first song of rapture which gushes from the inmost soul of the forgiven child of God. You know how John Bunyan describes it. He says, when poor Pilgrim lost his burden at the cross, he gave three great leaps and went on his way singing, Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Believer, do you recollect the day when your fetters fell off? Do you remember the place when Jesus met you and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have blotted out as a cloud thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud thy sins. They shall not be mentioned against thee any more forever. Oh, what a sweet season is that when Jesus takes away the pain of sin. When the Lord first pardoned my sin, I was so joyous that I could scarce refrain from dancing. I thought on my road home from the house where I had been set at liberty that I must tell the stones in the street the story of my deliverance. So full was my soul of joy that I wanted to tell every snowflake that was falling from heaven of the wondrous love of Jesus who had blotted out the sins of one of the chief of rebels. But it is not only at the commencement of the Christian life that believers have reason for song. As long as they live, they discover cause to sing in the ways of the Lord, and their experience of His constant loving kindness leads them to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See to it, brother, that thou magnifiest the Lord this day. Long as we tread this desert land, new mercies shall new songs demand.
Thy Lord, praise thee, O Lord.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
Come tonight to the final message in the fairly lengthy series, that we have had on the subject of the judges of Israel. And of course, since the last of the judges is not written of in the book of Judges, but in the book of 1 Samuel, we're reading 1 Samuel chapter 12. Last week, dealing with Samuel, we spent the time mostly on the ministry of Samuel as a judge and a prophet. We're going to deal with Samuel tonight more in a personal way as we think of the character of this last of the judges of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 12, reading from verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you. And I am old and grey-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safely. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye, and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. And so Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Samuel stands as a spiritual giant among all the pygmies of the latter days of the judges of Israel. He was not the only spirit-filled man. That's clear, because it is very probable that he was for some time a contemporary of Samson. There are various dating techniques for the book of Judges. There are various clues here and there as to synchronizing dates. I'm not going into those technicalities, but I can say that it is highly probable that he was for some time a contemporary of Samson, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. But undoubtedly, Samuel occupied a spiritual plane, which in that day was not enjoyed by any other leader of Israel. He came to prominence and to power at a time when God had silenced the message of revelation in Israel. Sin had shut up heaven. Apostasy had stopped the prophetic voice. We read of King Saul at a later time that the Lord was departed from him, and that the Lord answered him not. There was not a vision, not a sign, not a word from heaven. I think that it was very much the same story with the entire nation of Israel when Eli was finishing up the years of his judgeship. There was no open vision, we are told in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Oh, there were priests. There were sacrifices. Indeed, there were many sacrifices. There was much pomp and pageantry. There was a great external adherence to the religion of the Old Testament. But there was no open vision. There was no prophetic word. God had withdrawn from his people. Ichabod, the glory is departed, was written large over the entire nation. And the Lord answered not, neither by word, by vision, by dream, by sign, or by any special power. The Philistines wrought havoc. They defeated the armies of Israel. They slew thousands of their young men. They brought their towns and their villages into captivity. The ark was taken captive and laid up for a while at least in the house of Dagon, their false god. The priests, the sons of Eli, were slain. Spiritually, the nation of Israel could hardly have been at a lower ebb. And then, in a mighty stroke of sovereign grace and power, God raised up Samuel. Samuel, just at that time a boy, easily overlooked. In some ways he reminds me of the young George Whitefield. So young that you wouldn't really say the future of the nation lies in the hands of this individual. But God raised him up, and for the next 50 years, perhaps, Samuel carried on his ministry, serving his God and serving his nation, both as a judge and as a prophet of the Lord. Indeed, so great was the impact that Samuel made in his prophetic ministry, that the scriptures in the later writings in Chronicles, the scriptures call him Samuel the seer. 2 Chronicles 29 and 29. Samuel the seer. As if the Holy Ghost were saying, if you understand that expression, you will understand the entire character and ministry, significance and importance of Samuel. As the last of the judges, he served as a bridge between the times of the judges and the times of the kings. Indeed, he anointed the first two of the kings, King Saul and King David. Though he had the unenviable task of going back to Saul and announcing that for his sin and apostasy, the Lord had rejected his person and his line to sit upon the throne of Israel. Despite that, along with David, it's very evident that Saul respected Samuel. And then, as far as his nature and his derangement would allow him, he loved Samuel, depended mightily upon him. Samuel then was undoubtedly the recognized spiritual leader of the nation of Israel. That he did a great work in Israel can be proved from many scriptures. But it is significant that very little detail is actually given us in the narrative, in the chapters where you would expect to find that detail. Little detail is given us about most of his ministry. Enough, however, is said to let us gain an appreciation of his character. I'm going to make some very basic comments upon the character and ministry, then, of Samuel the prophet. First and foremost, the key to it all, he lived in a close and constant fellowship with the Lord. You remember the psalmist says in the 25th Psalm, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. It was said as a special mark of Moses' fellowship with the Lord, that though the Lord made known his acts to the children of Israel, he made known his ways unto Moses. Other people could see the outward results of God's action. Moses was in a close fellowship with the Lord, wherein he understood much more of the deep workings of God's purpose. And I think that Samuel stands in many ways like a second Moses. As we proceed, you'll see that that is not fanciful thinking, but rather is a very scriptural way of describing Samuel. Samuel, for instance, was not himself a priest. He was a Levite. Just as Moses was not the priest, he was not of the line of Aaron, though he was of the proper tribe. Yet, like Moses, Samuel had direct access to God. Samuel had the right to sacrifice, as did the later prophets like Elijah, even though they were not of the Aaronic line. Samuel, in many ways, was a second Moses. He knew the secret of the Lord in a day when nobody else seemed to know that secret of God. He had access to God in a day when the heavens were as brass and they were shut up to the nation, including the vast majority of its religious leaders. I tell you, it is a sad day in a nation's history when it has preachers, pastors, religious leaders who have no access to God. Who come, but they speak with no message. They can recite the product of their learning. They can give you the insights of human theorists, but they cannot conduct you to the throne of God. They cannot give you a message that is alive with divine power. They have no immediate access to God. It is a sad day in a nation when its preachers have fallen to that terrible condition. And I would say to you as you look across this nation today, that is the condition in the vast majority of churches. That's the condition that is so oppressive to the entire spiritual needs of this people. Oh, for a Samuel in every pulpit. that God would raise up men who know their God, who will be strong and who will do exploits, men who have such a close and constant fellowship with God that they are of immediate usefulness to the people to whom they minister.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.